Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Ignacio Donez, who is one of the members of the Health Committee at Most Precious Blood. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Today we're going to talk about the SHARE program, which is an acronym for the Stroke Health and Risk Education Program at Most Precious Blood. But before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. My name is Ignacio Donez. I'm a retired Navy nurse. I've done nursing since 1995. Again, did 20 years in the military and have been brought to Corpus Christi because of Most Precious Blood. We were stationed here before, and when we were here the last time, my last tour, we decided this was going to be home because of Father Bob and the church. So we decided to stay in Corpus.
So you did feel a sense of community there at the parish?
Absolutely. We've been to many places with the military, and this was probably the place that we felt the most welcomed in our church. So that's why we decided to come back here.
That's great to hear. We have had a few guests that have connections with Most Precious Blood, and it's good to see that there's health committees going on in parishes. What is a health committee? Why did Father Bob establish that?
Well, if you look at the trends, not just the coastal bend, but across the country, health care is taking a hit in many facets, be it medications or access to care. But one of the biggest things that we can do is prevent disease or chronic conditions. So what we're doing at Most Precious Blood is we're taking an active role to try to get people's weight within, you know, the standards, or get people to be more active, or get people to make healthier choices in their diets. And that's part of what we aim to do at Most Precious Blood. With that health
community. So what then, you did say that you were a nurse, a retired nurse from the military. What attracted you to do this type of ministry with people?
Well, again, being a nurse, when I felt the call to be a nurse, and to me it was a calling, a nurse helps a patient. You spend time with the patient, and it's more than just the physical health. There's emotional and spiritual health as well. And the social health, the contact with human beings. So one thing I felt called to do was do that, help people, talk with people, educate, help them make more informed decisions. And the more I dove into my spiritual life, the more I felt this is what I'm called to do. You know, 1 Peter 4:10 says that we've all been given a gift. We're supposed to use that gift. And I feel that God's given me the knowledge to become a registered nurse. And I should use that knowledge. And therefore, I felt this is the perfect place to do it.
So in just hearing you speak, there seems to be an element of service to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ.
Absolutely. Again, 20 years in the military, serving, it's what I've known and it's what I'd love to do.
Wonderful. So let's go ahead and get into the SHARE program. Again, it stands for Stroke Health and Risk Education. Now, you would be the wiser one with this, but we have issues here in the coastal bend like diabetes. That's a really prevalent issue. Obesity. Why focus on stroke health and risk education?
Well, back in 1999, the University of Michigan did a study here. It was called BASIC. And what that program was aimed to do was to identify, are there trends? Are there statistics that we can look at? The coastal bend actually had a really high incidence of stroke.
Okay.
And they found that when you study the risk factors for stroke, some of them are preventable. And being that overweight and obesity is one of the factors, and the rates here for the coastal bend have been predominantly high since the mid-1990s, they focused on that and what leads to obesity. The coastal bend is a great area because of the rates that we have for diabetes as well. It's a high rate. I believe right now it's like 9.8% was the last number the CDC had. And the, I wouldn't say tragic, but the thing about that is it is on the rise. And it's on the rise because the preventable risk factors that can be addressed aren't being addressed.
So you're saying this is a great area to have this kind of program here, but what are some of the risk factors then? You said obesity is one of them?
It is one of them. The fact that smoking, alcohol use. Now, hypertension or high blood pressure is a risk factor, and while some may argue that it's not preventable, it is controllable. And it's controllable through diet and exercise. And that's one of the things that this program aims to do. How can we get people to change their frame of mind? It's a paradigm change that we're trying to get. You know, a lot of our parishioners that are in the program tend to be in their 40s, 50s, even upward. The key to that is how do you get someone to change their habits? And that is what's leading to the complications of diabetes. The overweight and obesity. People get set in their ways. Change is hard. It's difficult. And that's probably one of the biggest obstacles that we have and the aim of the program, to get people to change their way of life, to become more active, make healthier choices with regards to their nutrition, and in the end, hopefully reduce the rate of stroke, obesity, and whatnot here in the Coastal Bend.
So you say those keywords that I hear often, diet and exercise. Is it really that important?
Well, let me rephrase that. Diet, from what I understand, is a four-letter word. And I've always been taught not to use four-letter words.
Okay.
I say that jokingly, but it's really, it should be considered nutritional intake. Because
okay.
Diet, we as a culture have figured a diet to be something we do for 8, 16 weeks. Mm-hmm. We shed the pounds we want, mm-hmm. and then we go back to what we've known before. That's a cycle. And every time you do that, you're going to gain more than you lost before. And if you look at the tabloids, you'll see the yo-yo dieting. It happens all the time. What I think should be used is instead nutritional intake, because that's what it is. It's what we're taking in to provide the nutrition for our bodies. Over time, you know, we get set to using or eating our food the way we're used to it. For example, if I'm accustomed to having 4 or 5 tortillas with my dinner every night, over time, that adds up, okay? But if instead of 4 to 5, now I go 2 to 3, and then when I get to 2 to 3, then I go to 1 to 2, and slowly replace that, those are small changes that we can make that will last a lifetime. And as you're making those changes, then the weight comes down. You add that with exercise, even if it's as simple as instead of stopping at the mailbox on the way home to check your mail, drive home, walk that block back and check your mail and walk the block back. That's 2 blocks. And slowly that adds up over time. And that's what it's all about, making those small, subtle changes that will add up.
Can you make the connection? We're going to get to the program in a bit, but can mm-hmm. you make the connection to being a Christian, being loved by Christ, and taking care of our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit? Why is it so important that we need to take care of ourselves?
Well, the way I always would make the connection with my patients, and with men, this is more effective. I always ask the men, you have a vehicle. You change the oil in it every 3,000 miles or 3 months. Why is that? Well, I want the vehicle to last a long time. You know, it's under warranty. It cost me $20,000 or whatever the case may be. And I always ask them, if we take that much care of a vehicle that we could buy 8 or 9 in a lifetime, why do we abuse our bodies that we only get one? You know, God's given us a gift in our body, and we accept it for who we are. But also, we shouldn't be abusing our body. You know, there's many passages in the Bible that address gluttony and that address being inactive, the abuse of alcohol, you know, drunkenness and all. The way we make the connection is we shouldn't be conforming to society, but transforming ourselves. You know, we're called to do that spiritually. You know, don't accept the normal, what society is throwing your way. You know, be who you are. Be true to your faith. Be true to God. So we look at it the same way as for our bodies. Why are we going to abuse something that has been given to us as a gift by God? You know, we have children. We shouldn't abuse our children, correct? Same applies for our body. It's a gift from God. And that's the way we see it. At least that's my personal view. And that's why for me, it's almost like a quest to get people to understand where I'm coming from and why I feel so passionate about this.
Well, that's very wonderfully said. It does make sense that if this is a gift, if our body is a gift, that we're called to be good stewards of that gift and all the gifts that God has given us. Go ahead and talk to me a little bit about the SHARE program. What is the history behind it?
Okay, the SHARE program, it's a National Institute of Health funded study. It was designed to study behavioral intervention with regards to our habits and specifically stroke risk. What they did and what they're aiming to do, like I had said earlier, is to change the way people make choices, increase the activity that they do. How do they do this? They have a one-year intervention consisting of self-help materials. You know, all participants are receiving a DVD-ROM that has like a cookbook that has healthy recipes on it. They get tailored newsletters based upon their lab values. Participants had labs drawn if they had high cholesterol. The newsletter would target high cholesterol, how to lower the cholesterol, better dietary choices. And also the social environment of change, you know, getting people active with each other and supporting each other. So they're also going to be getting support phone calls where they will call and see how things are going and motivate them along the way.
Ignacio, I look forward to hearing what the SHARE program has to offer. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. August 15th is the day set aside each year to celebrate our Blessed Mother's Assumption into Heaven. St. Patrick's Parish, 3350 South Alameda, will pray a novena in honor of this event beginning at the 5:30 p.m. Mass on Monday, August 6th, and conclude on Tuesday, August 14th, at the 5:30 p.m. Vigil Mass for the Assumption. Each evening, a different priest will preside at Mass and speak on a specific attribute of the Blessed Virgin Mary. After each Mass, the Rosary and specific novena prayers will be recited. For complete information, call the rectory office at 855-7391.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Ignacio Donias, who is one of the members of the Health Committee at Most Precious Blood and works with the SHARE program here in the diocese. So again, the SHARE program is stroke health and risk education. What exactly are we doing in the church to get people active in this program?
Well, that's a good question. And at MPB, what we are doing is we have a couple of programs that we've started. One of our most interactive ones is the Walk Across Texas. Texas A&M University has a program where you can sign on online as a participant and take part in their program. So we decided we're going to mirror that at the parish. And what we've done is we've set our path from Brownsville, Texas to Texline, Texas, which is 909 miles. And what we've done is we've encouraged all participants in the SHARE program to exercise, walk, swim, bike, whatever the case may be, and report their miles. And if they do strength training exercise, weightlifting or power bands or anything like that, the way I saw it on base, they had a similar program, was half an hour of strength training equals 1 mile. So that's how we were tallying up our miles. The question then came up, how are we going to get all that to one person? So on Facebook, you know, bringing social media in, I created a Facebook page for the SHARE program at MPB. I've invited those that I know are in the program and that have emails to join. And what they are encouraged to do is post their mileage, if you will, on the Facebook page. And so what we have is we have a running tally. Every day you can check it, and it'll say, let's say the last person was somebody named John Smith. It'll say, John Smith, 3 miles, group, 480. And we're keeping a tally, and that way we'll know where we're at on our goal. That's one of the things we're doing. Every Sunday evening at 6 p.m., we have a small group, and it is small now, but we encourage more people to come out. We walk at Most Precious Blood. We have a track that we've marked out, and the distances could be a quarter mile, a half a mile, or more if they choose to. And it's just something to get people active and together. Another thing that we're doing is our lecture series. We've had our registered nurses giving lectures on healthy eating habits, We're going to have some coming up actually August 11th on what are carbohydrates. There's a lot of confusion on what a carbohydrate is.
My mom has no idea what a carbohydrate is.
And that's great because some people think it's just a chemical symbol of CHO, which is the symbol. However, is rice a carbohydrate? Is pasta bread? What about some things that we don't normally consider as carbohydrates, like candies and sugar? It's a simple carb, but it is a carbohydrate. So we're going to do a lecture on that. We also have resources within the community or our parish that we're going to utilize to educate, again, the parish to make healthier choices. One of the things we've been trying to do is we're trying to get the structure set up. We want to do a Biggest Loser contest where we can do, as a parish, how much can we lose as a collective whole? Because just like a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, you know, as a parish, if we join together, we can do wonderful things together. So we're trying to get not just the share participants active, but the parish as well.
So again, the idea is, of course, to prevent stroke, mm-hmm. but really to increase awareness as well mm-hmm. and get healthy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because those preventable risk factors are the biggest things that we can do. Now, can I change the fact that I'm male? Well, I guess scientifically, yes, but no, you really can't. Can I change the fact that I'm 42 years old? No. Can I change that I'm Mexican in origin? And no. Can I change who my parents are? No. So those things, you know, hereditary risk factors that are there, or age or gender, you can't change those. But can I change if I smoke? Yes. Can I change my alcohol intake? Yes. My weight?
My eating
yes.
habits?
Eating, absolutely. And those are the two biggest things, the eating habits and activity or lifestyle. And those are the things that we are trying to change because they're the easiest things to change.
And they're the only things that we have control over. Like you just
That's
mentioned,
true.
We can't control our heredity and our genetic disposition, but these are things that we can control.
And that comes down to choice. Going back to when we made the ties to our spiritual life, we've all been given free will. You know, if I choose to eat a dozen donuts, that's my choice. If I choose to eat two bananas and a bunch of grapes, that's probably better for me. But again, it comes back to free will. We make that choice.
So you're saying here in South Texas, we do have a high risk of stroke.
We do.
It is related to things like obesity or mm-hmm. Smoking, alcohol intake, et cetera, mm-hmm. what we take in. And then what are some of the activities that support reducing stroke in the church?
Some of the activities, we are actually planning a family fun day where we're trying to get a softball game, kickball game, volleyball, just to get people active.
Physically active.
Physically active, absolutely. Some of the other things that we're trying to do, and I always have people set goals that they can reach. And so in September, the Blood Bank, I believe, is having a Walk for Blood, or I think it's called the Blood Walk, or Walk for Blood, I believe it is. And I'm encouraging participants to sign up for that. Once we set a goal, it's easier to reach it. And that way we can start our training to walk, exercise, to run. Peggy May, who is the head of our health committee, is also spearheading some of these projects to get people active with, like, the walking group. We also have connections with some of the local gyms that we're trying to get people to sign up if they prefer to go to a gym. But the one thing I always try to emphasize to people is that exercise can be free. All we need are a good pair of walking shoes. And if you have a garage, you have a gym because you can do all sorts of things in your garage. I always tell people...
You can just run in place.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we used to do a thing for our diabetic patients to demonstrate how exercise affects blood sugar. And we would get them to do, it was 5 minutes in place. They'd stand up and we'd just do stepping like you're marching, take two steps forward, two steps back, to the left, to the right, back, front, forward. And after 5 minutes, they would see, and I think the largest change we saw was 25 points on their blood sugar, just to demonstrate exercise works. So what we're trying to do is, again, encourage all of our participants to be active. And just those little tips, like I was saying, check the mail, don't stop, go back, park away from the grocery store.
And some people might not think that walking makes a difference, but it really does.
It does.
So let's say I don't think I can run. on a treadmill for a mile.
Okay.
But walking would make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, some people might think, well, how far should I walk? If you have a pedometer or access to one, the recommendation is 10,000 steps a day. And that's roughly about 2 miles. And people think, that's a lot. If you wear a pedometer throughout the day, you don't realize it, but you probably go through about that much walking. You know, 10,000 steps is really not a lot when you break it down. So I always encourage people, wear a pedometer. You know, I had a few patients that worked over at CCAD, and they were amazed because all the walking they do back and forth, and I told them it adds up.
And there's a sense of accomplishment when you're monitoring these different things.
Another thing that people can do is track it. Keep a log. Keep a diary. You know, if you're writing down what you're eating, do you really want to look at, I drank a Pepsi, you know, 6 donuts and a Hostess cupcake for breakfast? Not really, you know. So when you see it, it makes you think about it.
And, you know, there's things that we can substitute if we do have a sweet tooth, or if we did grow up eating carbohydrates or all those tortillas at every meal. These are cultural things.
Correct. And again, that's what we're aiming to do, to educate on some of those options. Because you're right, there are other options. You know, I look at a nutritional intake to be a balancing act, because it has to be. If you, let's say you overdo it at breakfast, and you have a great breakfast, that means lunch and dinner have to be sensible. You know, it makes sense. And if you know you're going to go somewhere where there's going to be a potluck at dinner and you really want to dig in, have a sensible breakfast and a sensible lunch, you know, or burn extra calories. You know, if you want to lose, you burn more than you bring in. If you want to maintain, keep them even, you know. And I think that's the problem, that we tend to take in more than we burn.
So there's a strong sense of self-commitment, self-will, just really dedicating yourself to making the right choices. Let me ask you, what do you hope to accomplish by participating in this study?
What I'd like to do is to get the general population, not just MPB, but the general population to understand that diabetes or the risk for stroke is not a death sentence. It is something that can be controlled, and that's the key, keeping it in control, making those changes, making those choices that will lead to a healthier lifestyle. And that is within each person's control.
Ignacio, thank you for being with us. Stay with us for Sacred Moments with Deacon Stephen Nolte.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you ever noticed that air conditioners only break down during the hottest days of the summer? On the one hand, you might say it makes sense, because when it's cold, we don't typically run the AC. But what about the rest of the year? In the South, the AC often goes on in late spring, before the hottest days arrive. Why can't it break down then, when the sweat and suffering would be less? You would think that, statistically, it would have to happen sometimes, but it never seems to. It could be that the problem with the AC is already there, but we don't notice it until the heat is on. It's warm outside, the house is heating up, so you decide to cool it down. Because the overall temperature is lower, it doesn't take as much to cool off, so we don't notice that the AC isn't working at full capacity. But once it gets really hot outside, and the AC is struggling to keep up with the heat, we know that something is wrong and call the repair people. One family recently went through this. As the outside temperature soared, the AC struggled to cool down the house. Eventually, they gave in and called an AC company. At one point, as the service tech went through his regular routine of checking all of the components, he went into the attic to inspect the plenum and the ducting. As he was maneuvering his way out of the attic, he slipped on one of the boards that had been placed there for safe access. Imagine the surprise of the family seated around the dining room table when there was a sudden crashing sound and a leg appeared dangling through the ceiling. Fortunately, no one was hurt, and the repairs weren't major. It reminds us of the story of the paralytic who was lowered through the roof so Jesus might heal him. The people in the house probably weren't expecting guests to arrive through the roof, let alone a paralytic on a stretcher, but that's what happened. Imagine their further surprise when Jesus took it all in and, speaking to the paralytic's friends on the roof, said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees who were present began asking among themselves who Jesus was. After all, he was forgiving sins, an act they believed belonged only to God. As usual, Jesus rebuffed them. After the rebuff and subsequent healing of the paralytic, they were astonished and glorified God. This is one of the rare times when we hear the Pharisees responding favorably to one of Jesus' miracles. This story should give us much to think about. Sometimes God allows us to be startled by something as unusual as a leg dangling from the ceiling, or a paralytic lowered on a stretcher into the midst of our life. It might be our leg. It might be a loved one, or even ourselves, suddenly struck ill and in bed. He uses such moments to draw us into his love, inviting us to receive the forgiveness and healing we all need. He knows when we haven't been doing the regular maintenance necessary for our own good, maintenance like daily prayer, practicing charity like the paralytic's friends, or not receiving the sacraments. When was the last time you had a good heart-to-heart with God in the confessional? He wants to heal us and forgive us. We just need to ask. May your sacred moments bring bodily and spiritual healing, and may God's blessings be with you when the heat is on. Amen.
This is your host, Margaret Alaria, for Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Ignacio Donez, who is the coordinator for the SHARE program at Most Precious Blood. If you would like more information, please call him at 361-854-3800. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alaria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.